I take my Bible reading from Genesis 37, and if I were to name this sermon this morning, I call it The Three Coats of Joseph. 37, Genesis, from the first verse. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family when Joseph was 17 years old. He often tended his father's flocks. You know, two things come to here. He was in a strange land. The second point that I find in this situation here is that it's amazing how every major leader in the Bible basically has had to tend a flock of God. David tended his father's sheep. Jacob here tended his father's sheep. And we find many others who learn to tend the sheep of God. We worry why certain things don't happen in life and why they don't happen fast. It's because maybe God is saying to you, learn from beginning. Learn how it is to love and care for people. Learn how it is to be able to minister into the hearts of people, that when you walk, they will follow. As you love the Lord, they will see the Lord in you. I believe that every evangelist who goes into the ministry must first of all be a shepherd of a flock of God. And then he will understand how the pastor feels and how the pastoral ministry works. Because so many evangelists today are going around the world and they're begging for money and this and everything else, and they're taking food out of the mouths of many of God's children that they need to sow into the house of God. Beloved, when the Bible talks about tithing and giving into the house of God, he said give into the storehouse of God. And I believe the storehouse of God is the place where you get your spiritual food and your spiritual nourishment. I had a minister, a man of God who was an evangelist, sent me a letter one day asking me to send my tithe to him. I tell you something, I lost my respect for that man. Because the assembly I was in at that time was struggling and going through a difficult time, and they needed to know that people were faithful to God. I'm not a money preacher. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel, because I believe my God supplies all my needs according to his great riches and glory. And I also believe that he will cause me to prosper, as the word said, as my spirit prospers. In other words, he will give me enough along the way that I can control at one time. He will not give me in great abundance and ruin my life for me. Beloved, if we're giving, you must remember that you give seed and you have food. Two different things. One, you've got to know how to give to God. You need to know. I don't know why I'm saying this morning, but anyway, this is what the leading of the Lord seems to be. You've got to know that whatever you have is not 10%. God wants 100%. He wants a total surrender of everything you have. And you have to determine out of that what God shows you is your food that you will eat from day to day. And I tell you, you'll find it very difficult if you start eating your seed, because you'll have nothing left to be able to use for the glory of God. It was Solomon who said in the book of Ecclesiastes, cast your bread upon the waters and it shall return unto you after many days. And I started thinking about this when I said, you put bread on water, it'll soak up the water, it'll float to the bottom, or the ducks will get it and all this sort of thing. But you know, we tend to think many times in a Western way of thinking things. We should start thinking from where he said it and the situation where he said it. The main bread of the time was rice, and rice is thrown onto the water as a harvest, and it brings forth a harvest. And if we're going to sow, we must sow into the area that God has planted us, the seed that we get, that it will bring forth much fruit to the glory of God. We sow into a mission field like Dawn. But you know something? Dawn labors there, and one of the things she said, I'm lonely. How many people have sown a letter into her ministry? How many people have sent her a book or something and saying, we're praying for you? How many people are conscious of all those people around the world who you know are in ministry, and we tend to brush them off to say, well, they're not here anymore, why would we worry about them? You know something? These are the people who need your prayer. These are the people who need your support. These are the people who need to know that you love and care for them along the way. I don't know if I'm preaching the sermon I'm supposed to be preaching, but still. But I believe that we need to get hungry for the things of God and start moving in the power and the Spirit of the Lord, to allow God to move in our lives and in our beings, to be able to touch our spirits with the fullness and the infirmities of others, that we might realize the pain and the suffering they are going through. The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens, to lift each other up, to cherish each other. I look at Eric and his family here, and I think they're a wonderful family. And I know in a lot of cases they have to just reach out to God and supply their needs and undertake for them. They've gone through quite a heavy period at the moment, and especially with two children graduating and going to college. But I see things coming together like a jigsaw puzzle. As people are reaching out to them and out to Luke and to Hila, and they're offering into their lives finances and things like that to help them in their future. And I think this is wonderful when people come around each other like this and start caring for each other and caring for everybody else. We had a time of fellowship yesterday at their home as they celebrated the graduation of the two of them. And you know something? This is what I call real communion. For as oft as you gather together in my name, do this in remembrance of me. We broke bread together. We drank together. We had fellowship together. The church isn't here in the building, beloved. The church is out there in the world where the world can see us, that by our example, by our lives, by the very situation we stand, they will see in us the Christ of resurrection glory. And they will want to know him, whom to know aright is life eternal. Paul said that he might provoke to emulation they which are his flesh, that he might save some of them. In other words, he provoked to jealousy people who became jealous of the life he was living. And because of it, they said, I want to be like that person. I remember walking into a jail as I was a young Christian one particular Sunday to take a service amongst the convicts who were in there. And as we got in there, the power of God began to move before we start preaching the word of God, administering the word of God, so great that an Afrikaans chap with his son were in jail together, and they just broke down and started weeping before the Lord. And afterwards, the whole church, literally all of them, were crying and repenting before God and turning to him. We asked them, what happened? They said, we wanted the same joy that you had as Christians in your lives. And God's Holy Spirit spoke to us, and we made our peace with God. Beloved, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. You know God loves the sinner, do you? God loves the person who lives in adultery. God loves the person of another religion. God loves the whole world because he said so in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has no favorites, beloved. He loves the world. He loves every one of you. But he loves you so much, he's not willing to let you stay as you are. He wants you to change. He wants you to become like him. He wants you to become a holy nation, a holy people who will serve him, who will love him, who will follow him, who will be obedient to him, who will hear his faintest voice speaking into your spirit. This is the way. Walk in it. You know, I had a vision when I left here last time. I had a vision for that petrol station next door or whatever it was. And I said, you know, Family Church of God, you're going to build up a work here that is going to be far bigger than you will ever realize. And as I looked at the place, I started praying, Lord, provide for that situation. We're not looking for big assemblies, but we're looking for places where people can come and where they can worship the Lord and where we can serve the community and be a blessing to the community. We had the Diamond Jubilee for the Queen last, two Sundays or three Sundays ago? Our church put on a whole day of festivities. We first of all in the morning had our normal service on the Sunday. And after that, we had a time of breaking of bread together and fellowship. And after that, we had a ministry of the Word of God. In fact, we'd had the ministry already first, and we had the ministry second. But you know something about this? We advertised it to the community, and everybody was welcome. And we had a great time of praise, a great time of worship, in remembering not only the Queen, and what she'd been there for 60 years, but remembering the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he who loved us and washed us from our sins in his precious blood and gave his life a ransom for each and every one of us that we might have life and have it even more abundantly. God is calling for love slaves, beloved. Love slaves who will give us their all, who will reignite the fire upon the lean altars of their hearts, will start moving out into the community, moving out into the lives of other people and bringing them in. The Bible says to the pastors and to the ministers, make disciples of all men. They cannot make disciples unless we win them and bring them into the kingdom of God. Oh Lord, revive the fire of God in the hearts of your people. Start blowing upon that fire with the wind of God and the wind of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that that glowing ember may become a flame that will reach out to the dead wood out there and bring them alive in the things of the Lord. We serve an awesome God who is able to change a nation in a day. A God who is able to keep people from everlasting to everlasting. A God who is able to do many things, but one thing he will not interfere with is the free will of man. He will try and engineer a way for each and every one of us. I came to the Lord as a direct result of people praying for me, and I guarantee that most of you came to the Lord because people prayed for you. But it's about time the Christian church got on and put the gospel of peace into their shoe leather and started going out and putting those prayers into action and telling others that Jesus saves. Beloved, are you hungry today? You know, I wake up every morning generally with a very dry mouth. I think Eric must have a problem like that because he likes his mocha coffee and all those things, you know. He's an expert on coffee, by the way, for himself. But you know, I woke up with dry mouth every morning. And I feel so thirsty that when I get up, the first thing I do, my voice is croaking. The first thing I do when I get up is say, good morning, Lord. And then so I can pray and say, thank you, Lord, for the day. I have to have a glass of water to make sure that I am not thirsty anymore. I asked a dear sister over here to make sure there was some water at the pulpit this morning so that I could, if I feel dry, I could take a glass of water But you know, they that thirst and hunger after righteousness. How thirsty are you today? How thirsty is your life today? I'm turning over in my book here something because I say, well, maybe God is saying to me, you know, to sing you a song. Would you like me to sing you a song this morning? With my croaky voice. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty after God? Are you thirsty after the things of God? Are you thirsting for God to do something in your life that will radically change your life and cause those people out there to become jealous of you, that they will desire to know the King of Kings in your life? Are you thirsty? Oh, everyone who is thirsty in spirit. Oh, everyone who is weary and sad. Come to the fountain, there's fullness in Jesus. Follow your longing heart, come and be blessed. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your hearts to the gifts I am giving. There, I need the water. While you are seeking me, I will be found. I think I will take some water. My voice gets a bit croaky at times, don't worry. Other times I can sing. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. If that's any better. Child of the world, are you thirsty and tired? Are you tired of your bondage? Are you tired of the problems and difficulties that you have in life? Weary of earth's joys, so false and untrue. Thirsting for God and his fullness of blessing. List to the promise, our message for you. I will pour my water on him that is thirsty. I will draw floods upon the dry ground. Open your hearts to the gift I am giving. While you are seeking me, I will be found. I'm going to read the last verse because my voice doesn't seem to be taking very good today, but I have the Lord anyway. Child of the kingdom, be filled with the Spirit. Nothing but fullness your longing heart needs. There is endowment for life and for service. Thine is the promise, so certain, so sweet. I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Open your hearts to the gifts I am giving. While you are seeking me, I will be found. Is God pouring water upon the dry ground of your heart today? Is God speaking to you in some way? Maybe there is a situation that has held you back. You love your friends, but you're too scared to talk to them about Jesus because you might lose them. I was talking to a young man yesterday who's given up his friends for Jesus. All his friends mock him. He's concerned about the whole situation. He feels there is probably nothing he can do about it in many things he wants to do, but he can't do it. But God has a plan and purpose for his life. Don't give up your Jesus because of friends, but let them see in you the Christ of resurrection glory. Maybe you're having problems and difficulties in your married life. And you're losing your focus on the things of God. You're no longer praying together. You're no longer reading the word together. And you're getting further and further apart. Can I say to you, get your eyes and your focus back on the Lord. Get your eyes and your heart set upon the Lord. Start to get hungry again after the things of God. Because what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. There's an answer to every situation in life. His name is Jesus. There's an answer to the thirsty soul, and he can fill it. You know, we used to sing a song that says, "Take my cup, Lord, fill it up, Lord." I don't want the Lord to fill my cup up. I want him to fill me up. Is that true? I don't want a little cup. I want it all, Lord. We sing a chorus in England that I've introduced to the church there long ago. I might be a bit old-fashioned in some things. It says, "Wind, wind, blow on me. Wind, wind, set me free. Wind, wind, blow on me, the blessed Holy Spirit." Do you know that chorus? Do you know that chorus? Wind, wind, blow on me. Wind, wind, set me free. Wind, wind, the Father sent the blessed Holy Spirit. Let's try it together. Wind, wind, blow on me. Wind, wind, set me free. Wind, wind, the Father sent the blessed Holy Spirit. Make it a prayer to the Lord today. Make it a prayer of your heart that God's Holy Spirit would blow upon you and that you would be revived in the power of God and in his love and care. Wind, wind, blow on me. Wind, wind, set me free. Wind, wind, the Father sent the blessed Holy Spirit. Wind, wind, blow on me. Wind, wind, set me free. Wind, wind, the Father sent the blessed Holy Spirit. You know, Israel was at the Red Sea. The fire was behind them, and behind the fire were the troops of Pharaoh ready to come down and crush them. Above them was the cloud as it covered them and protected them from above. And God started to blow a great wind during that night. And as that wind began to blow, as that wind began to build up steam as it went along through the night, I believe the faith of Israel, even though they felt so trapped in that situation and there, as they still had the mentality of Egypt on their hearts, something began to happen in their hearts. And I believe that something was, as the wind began to blow, their faith began to increase. And their belief began to increase. And it only took Moses to go forward and put his rod upon the waters. And the waters parted. A mountain on both sides. Now that's unusual in itself. You think the one lot would flow away the other way. But no, it was a mountain. It was a mountain of protection as they went through that river and through that sea into the promise of what God had for them. Beloved, they might have gone into a desert. They might have gone into a lot of trials and tribulations for the next 40 years. But eventually, when they shaken off Israel, of Egypt and the sins of Egypt, they entered in to a victorious victory in the promised land. Beloved, we might have to part through in a situation. We might find things insurmountable. We've got the troops behind. But start looking at the troops. See the fire of God that is there burning on your behalf and separating you from that sin and from that iniquity and from those problems and those difficulties. Start looking today at rather the cloud above you as God guides you through that river, through that stream, through that whatever it was they went through. And know that even though you're going to go through trials and tribulations and problems and difficulties, He is with you and He promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has 1,000 ways to answer every prayer. And if you're going through a deep problem this morning, if you're going through a situation that seems insurmountable, I want you to stand right now and say, Pastor Barry, please pray for me. You're all looking fine. Hallelujah. Do you have a problem? Do you want to get reignited in the things of God? Do you want the wind of God to blow on your spirits this morning, revitalize you, empower you to move forward as the king, as the children of God? 120 people gathered together in an upper room, and as the power of God began to move, the Spirit of God gave them cloven tongues of fire, and they began to praise God. And what was the result? 3,000 souls were won into the kingdom of God. When we stand before God and say, Lord, reignite upon my altar today that fire of your Holy Spirit, blow upon it. Last night we had a fire that just about went out at Eric's place, and everyone gathered round it. And there was Nick and Josh, trying their best to blow on this fire. But I tell you something, when the Holy Spirit blows, the fire begins to burn. It burns away the dross. It burns away the problems. It burns away the difficulties. It sanctifies and makes you holy. Then you can stand as men and women in the things of God and say, Holy Spirit, I'm totally and absolutely given to you. Will you stand and say, here am I, Lord. Use me. Jesus, use me. And, O Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. You're the greatest. You're the most awesome. No matter how black the things may look, no matter how difficult the pathway may be, sometimes we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, the death of self, the death of me, that Jesus might come forth in us in true reality. Father, there are so many people here who were standing saying, Lord, I surrender. Lord, reignite the fire upon the lean altar of my heart. Lord, I've got so many problems, but now I'm casting all my care upon you, for you care for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shiatura baba sundia kalandara baba usha. Touch our hearts, O Lord, with the holy fire. Sanctify our lives, O Lord, that we might be a holy people, a people who will take forth the gospel of redeeming grace, and that people will not only see it or hear it in our mouths, but feel it, Lord, and recognize your love and your care as you permeate our lives. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses for you in the light that we shine, that indeed our lights may shine, that men may see us and see the glorious God and the works that you've done through us. Hallelujah. Father, into your hands we commit ourselves. For those who have insurmountable problems, Lord, let them know the peace of God, and that they need to just stand back and let you fight the battle. because the battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. For those who have situations in their lives, they seem insurmountable, Lord. When the enemy comes in like a flood, raise up a standard for them, Lord, that in the battle that is there, the standard will fly high and they will see the victory of the Lord. Oh, Lord, bless this congregation and these people, Lord, and let your name be magnified through them. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.